you're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So to put it mildly, learning is a struggle right now. As parents, we're trying to keep our kids' attention on schoolwork and juggle our own fluid work situations. Districts everywhere are trying to take a deep plunge into online learning, trying things they haven't tried before, frankly, from digital versions of kindergarten gym class to high school English discussions. So we're taking stock this hour. Are you a student or have you moved to online learning? What's the transition like? Let's hear from you. What are the challenges? Are you a teacher who's trying to figure out how to transform lessons to online assignments? How is it going? Are you getting in touch with students? Are they there? We're at 800-642-1234. Janice Mertes is Assistant Director of Teaching and Learning for the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Janice, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
So all of Wisconsin school districts have been ordered to close schools and shift to remote learning. Can you tell us what progress is being made there? What does this entail?
Sure. Before I begin, I'd like to make sure that we give a shout out to all of our district leadership teams, educators, family, kids, and communities to make sure to recognize them for all their efforts to embrace all of these changes. And we're seeing some amazing things around the state, and we just want to make sure they get the credit that they deserve. So as far as what we're seeing, so Wisconsin, we already had flexibility of innovative design leveraging technology. Last year, we actually implemented a program called Virtual Learning Time that was to be used for inclement weather situations, but could be used for other situations. In the last 2 weeks, as districts have transitioned their mindset from maybe this is a week or two plus spring break to now more the reality of most likely the end of the year, the idea of high quality instruction in this format is really moving districts to think creatively and to, again, as we say, keep the learning going. Across the state, we know that districts are ensuring or trying to ensure equitable access to students in any capacity and making up for any deficiencies in those equity access points for students and families. So we can't really say there's one way that every district is doing this, but rather locally making plans for their community, their students, and leveraging tools that students were typically familiar with, and again, redesigning those learning activities with a high level of engagement, but also making sure that they feel connected to their students in this time of need. And that's really the amazing part of this, is it is not a student in isolation. Our schools are going above and beyond to feel connected to their students during this time.
And when we say online learning, not everything here is actually online. Districts can use other ways to connect with students and get them the learning, the information, the tools.
Correct. So first of all, the definition of online learning simply means separation of student and teacher, and that is now the situation for all the students in Wisconsin. So that is rare. As districts implemented, very high-level communication tools they have that they normally would have with parents and families, whether that's phone line messaging, website, newsletters, that really is the first line of communication. As far as instructional tools and access, we've seen a huge increase in the use of different tools that allow synchronous interaction of educators and students, students with other students. We do know that most 100% of our districts are Google for Education districts, and those tools have a high level of collaboration capability that students are already familiar with. And then also looking at digital classroom platforms, which would allow then the content to be housed and delivered to students, which again, some districts are using what they already had. We're not introducing a lot of new things to students, but this idea of communicating in a different way or leveraging low-tech options, which is another thing we're promoting for students and families, as well making sure that the learning is grade and developmentally appropriate. So We're not saying to families that you're going to be on a computer 8 hours a day. We are saying there are high quality ways to engage in learning, and there needs to be a balance of physical activity and also then balance of, again, that age appropriate level of interaction.
We're talking with Janice Mertes. She is an assistant director of teaching and learning for the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. We're learning about the shifts that Wisconsin is making to the digital space, to online learning. And your situation is welcome. Are you a teacher? How is this transition going? What information are you receiving from your school district? Have you reached out to students? Are they there? Are they responding? You can join in with how the communication is flowing with your situation. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Janice, as you mentioned before, equity is such an important issue for you, but do you see across districts uniformity at all in how many have a one-to-one Chromebook ratio or laptop ratio for their students already, and what districts may be looking to procure more laptops?
So we do an annual digital learning survey and have data. 91% of our public schools completed that survey. We know the grade level distribution of devices and also the age appropriate distribution of devices. You know, districts have all different ways of structuring those programs, whether it's a one-to-one program where students take them home, whether it's something they use in school. We do know that schools are being very creative, and in this time of crisis, innovative thinking and creativity is really allowing districts to close those gaps. We had one district that had no one-to-one programming. They surveyed home families and asked what was available in the household for an extended time, the personal internet access, and that district was very surprised at the low ratio of students who could not perform these tasks at home and using no school-issued technology. So there's no common way we can define how districts set these programs up. We do know that there are some inequities as far as access. We know that districts are thinking differently about how they identify those gap areas. We also know that districts have invested resources in trying to deal with the internet access. We do know that there are gaps of access within our state. Very much because of geography, some socioeconomic, you know, communities are looking at this from a creative solution. The Public Service Commission is helping to work with companies who are pledging to help homes, families during this time period. So, but we also look at inequities as far as high quality digital content and the digital literacy skills of students and teachers to be able to operate in this world. And we know there's a lot of new learning about technology occurring, but we also know that we know it's not going to be perfect, and we are giving our schools a lot of credit for their attempts to, again, create those avenues of students not being isolated. We have a lot of low-tech options that just simply include the phone, so we're understanding those and trying to help support districts in figuring out all the different capabilities they have to get to a student home. And I think that's really the important part here, is that it is a very much a local plan and programming based on how districts have identified those equity needs for students.
We're talking about digital learning, the push from schools to set up computers and passwords and so much more amid the coronavirus outbreak. Is your child able to stay focused on their schoolwork at home? Or are they treating the pandemic more as an extra vacation? How are you keeping them on track? Join the conversation, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment. More conversation here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're looking at Wisconsin schools and distance learning as COVID-19 spreads. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to Education Week, more than 121,000 public and private schools in 46 states have closed, affecting more than 54 million students. More than 54 million students at home right now. The Department of Public Instruction, DPI, provides guidance and technical assistance to support public elementary and secondary education in the state. If you're a school administrator, what classes have been harder to move online? What support is out there giving you that's being given to you right now? If you lack internet at home, what have you been doing to help your child do their schoolwork? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Janice Mertes is Assistant Director of Teaching and Learning with DPI, and she stays with us. Janice, you know, the students right now who are at home may feel quite isolated. What are the challenges to making sure that students are not left behind and they don't feel isolated?
I think I'm following a lot of social media right now, and districts are sharing some of those success stories. I've seen everything from high school kids sitting on top of their cars in the school parking lot, practicing social distancing as they're studying together. My own daughter has Zoom lunches with her friends to stay connected. Also, the teachers should be given a lot of credit as they're trying to create those collaborative attempts. I've seen online or morning meetings that include physical activity and students participating together. I saw a teacher organized an online birthday celebration for all the months, all the kids that month had birthdays. You know, I think they're trying to create some normalcy of their classroom practices and trying to ensure that students don't feel isolated. Again, we are trying to support low-tech options that still allow students to connect via the phone. So again, making sure that we can support students being able to connect into those activities, I think, is vital.
Yeah.
But I also think families are doing a great job in trying to get balance for that, for themselves and for students, as far as, you know, what happens outside of the days that are kind of, or the hours that are kind of scheduled for school. How are they keeping their students engaged in their communities? You know, it's very much a community effort right now. There was a great example, Lake Mills, the teachers had a parade and went through 55 cars in town and rode through, and they had a parade for all their students. So, you know, just because it's distance learning and the perception may be isolation, again, a shout out to the amazing credit our leaders and our teachers and the staff are providing to schools. All the school lunch distribution programs are keeping kids connected with those services. So it's not just about the learning. There's a high level of social emotional support for students in this time, trying to make them feel like it's going to be okay as the rest of the school year is going to look and feel different for them. And that's really the unsung hero part of our educators and our leaders of schools, to ensure that that is part of their programming support for our students.
Well, I have to say, Janice, I too have a daughter who was using Zoom over the weekend to be in touch with her friends. And we marveled at home, you know, thinking, never thought Zoom, you know, for workplace meetings right, would actually be used by the kids. So there is a lot of changes now, as well as another tip from our household. We've set up a book group for the kids and enlisted the help of grandparents from afar and a great aunt who have scheduled times to log in for the book group. And the kids have to read so many chapters to be ready to go for book group twice a week now.
Right. And there's great stories, those intergenerational connections, because it's also a great service to, you know, our other part of society who may feel isolated. So, you know, keeping the learning going and keeping connected is almost a community theme. But families are also personalizing. What does that mean in their own situation, and what supports do they need? You know, we are in a different generation with kids that, you know, are growing up with smart devices and kind of know what some of those tools are. But for teachers to formalize that in an education setting does take a different skill set, and they're learning that skill set for students to, you know, make sure that we have online appropriate online interactions, net etiquette, digital citizenship standards. But again, that students are compassionate with others and reaching out and connecting. So I think those are the stories that'll come out of this, is the humanity part of it, that technology did not take away some of those connections. And again, as schools are figuring out low-tech options to stay connected, we know that is the number one goal of our districts.
Janice Mertes is here, Assistant Director of Teaching and Learning with the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. We're looking at the rollout of online learning amid the coronavirus pandemic. With your situation, your tips as well, join in with your tips to how to engage students at this time when they're at home. Join in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Janice, earlier you mentioned online learning through phone. What can you do through the phone with students?
Sure. So we purposely have provided some guidance on low-tech options. So any of the collaboration tools like Zoom or Google Meet, they have call-in options as well. So, you know, some of the features do include being able to do video broadcast or seeing students, but they can be engaged and come into those rooms via phone. Again, we also, through Google Docs, there's a level of collaboration and messaging that's available there. So students have a lot of these features built within tools they might have already been using, and now they're just kind of accelerating those tools. And we have good support from Google for Education and our other main tech companies to really transform their directions into that how of engagement with the tools. And that's really been an important resource for our schools, is to help them understand how to take that tool into a different format, how to keep students engaged, and also know that it may not be a student if they don't have internet, or again, depending on grade level, that interaction might look different. But it also is that family engagement, and there's lots of opportunities for schools also to reach to families and get them connected as well.
Are you at DPI worried that there's a risk that many students will fall behind during this time of remote learning?
You know, at this point, this is an unusual situation, as you said, nationwide. I do believe as, you know, districts, again, went from this may be a short time to this is the rest of the school year. I know in working with districts that there is a lot of effort into ensuring what that high quality instruction and learning targets are going to be and how they finish out the school year. You know, as we look at how districts look at the metric of performance, you know, students already had 3/4 the school year, and that's a pretty substantial amount of time that they've already had learning for the year. So as districts wrap that up, they're going to identify those priority areas of learning and try to make sure that students are ready to be promoted to the next grade. And obviously, they're grappling with a lot of those issues right now. And I think that's something that we are engaging with districts as they come up with those local programming decisions, as they finish out the year, as students have to earn credits and those type of things. There's a lot of unique local factors that are going to move into this. But I do not believe any district is not attempting to do something with keeping learning connected and trying to figure this out.
Let's bring in Carol now in Milwaukee. Hi, Carol.
Hello. I'm not sure if you covered this already, but I think teachers could call students for the purpose of giving them attention and letting them know that somebody cares about what they're doing and those types of issues. And in case they have problems listening to what they're talking about, just having a conversation with a child who has maybe very few adults who can, you know, have the presence of mind to listen to them can be very helpful for their emotional well-being. And many students do have many issues and also substitute teachers should be included. They do not have the phone numbers. I am a substitute teacher. I don't have any phone numbers, and I would love to use all my extra time or some of it to help children in that way.
Carol, thank you for bringing that up. Janice, a substitute teacher there, saying, I would reach out to students.
Yeah, and I think, districts are trying to figure out utilization of staff. That is something, again, that is a local control. We know that there are different systems being put into districts as far as how they are moving those connection points forward. Carol, I commend you for your desire to want to do that. I would encourage you to reach out to your local district, I assume it's MPS, to say, are you taking volunteers to do this? I've worked in your system. Because I do think as this is going to be an extended time, districts will start to look for additional supports for students, like you mentioned, Carol. So great idea, and thank you for caring so much about our kids.
Janice, thank you for joining us. Janice Mertes is Assistant Director for Teaching and Learning at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Coming up, we check in with PBS Wisconsin and explore what its education unit is providing at home. That's after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.